Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
There, truckers, welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Dave with Redneck and I Radio. We're here live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. on the Central Time and down in Texas here. It's Redneck and I Radio live here at 515-602-9731 is the phone number. Just call in, listen along, or be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining us for that. And we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. That's the name of the show. Redneck and I Radio Live, all things trucking and then some. Appreciate everybody joining us. Like I said, 515-602-9731. Before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. You can download their app at truckertools.com or the app store from your cell phone. Whether it be Android, iPhone, whatever you need, Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app, where you can do load booking, load confirmation kind of stuff, tracking. Also, you can plan your route. You can get, you know, different stuff like fuel stops, truck stops, parking, Walmarts, maintenance, all kinds of stuff for the trucking. And, you know, and they even got the routing software that where you can route through there. I don't know if it's truck specific or not, but it seems to work pretty good. I've used it a couple of times, so it works out pretty good. But you know, when you just in my experience, everybody that can tell you that they've been on the road long enough, if they know the roads, it's always, you know, the best GPS is the one inside your head. And whether or not you should take a road or not, it's always your gut feeling that's going to be the best bet for you. So always know that. But other than that, we're just checking out things in the news, and, you know, they're still talking about autonomous trucks being the future. Uber Freight came out and said it a couple of days ago. And then just more accidents that really are just, you know, get you thinking sometimes. And that's just what we all think about, you know. So other than that, you know, we're just rocking right along here. Like I said, give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. And this is Redneck and I's Radio Live.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
got friends in pocket. We got battle. I'm gonna use it. Intention. Emotion. Been diving, deeper leaning, no visa.
It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation at 1. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining and listening along for that. Let me click over there and make sure that I can see everything going on over there. It's computer's moving a little slow today, but we're getting it done. We're getting it done. So we're coming into week 2 of the NFL preseason, and I don't know. I mean, I think I slept through some of the games a little bit there because you can't watch. They're only on the local networks unless they're on a prime time. So, like, you know, tonight you've got ESPN doing the Bears and the Seahawks. But other than that, everything's just either on the web or on the local channels. So Houston plays tonight. Is that right?
No.
Yeah. But they're out there in L.A., so the game doesn't start till 9 p.m. local time, which my time, which will be 7 p.m. out in California. And that's the funny part, too, is that since these games aren't really being televised to the national audience, that means when you have a primetime game in California, it's actually at a normal time. if anybody doesn't realize it, that, you know, hey, Monday Night Football is, like, always at, you know, 8 o'clock. Or, well, 8 o'clock what? On the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West, or 9 o'clock on the East Coast, something like that. But also, Sunday Night Football, the big primetime event, also is on, you know, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Actually, 7 o'clock Central Time, because, I mean, I always kind of watch that one because it's after all the other games. And then it's 8 o'clock East Coast. So that means in California, if they're playing in California, the game has to start at 5. So on Monday nights, it's even worse. Because the game has to start, you know, at what, 5 o'clock on Monday. So if you work Monday, pretty much you got to take that time off. You got to take Monday off if you want to try to get to the game on prime time in California. So here the game gets to start at a normal time. So the Rams play the Texans at 7 o'clock local time out there in California, and everybody's happy about that. And but other than that, it's always you know, it's about TV. They always want to have it on TV, so you got to think about that. So yeah, it's the Seahawks and Bears on ESPN, and then all the other games. There's only 3 other games. Patriots playing the Panthers, Saints playing the Packers, and the Texans playing the Rams. And, you know, it's just preseason, so it don't really matter. And then there's no games tomorrow, and then Saturday there's a bunch of games. And I was going down the list here. The Cowboys, they're playing out there in California, so they'll be playing the Chargers. And that'll be at 9 o'clock local time here. So, you know, that might be pretty good because that way, you know, you can always get to the restaurant later and you don't have to worry about getting there early and that kind of thing. So that's kind of a normal time to be at the bar to watch a game is at 9 o'clock. But then again, if it gets, you know, of course, that's when you want to see the preseason because that's when all the stars play. The second half, nobody that anybody knows plays unless you're watching the rookies or whatever. And then Sunday, there's a couple of games, 1, 2, 3 games. And Monday, there's a game. And that game is also, it's Falcons and Jets. And that's a primetime game being shown to everybody. Everything else, looks like Fox is having a game on Sunday night. And I don't see any other. See, like these others, they don't even show what channel they're going to be on. It's the NFL.net, and that's it. But it'll be a local channel. If your team is playing, it's going to be on your local channels, whatever your local market is. Other than that, there's no national games unless it's, you know, prime time televised, which looks like Fox is having a game. I'm not real sure. I'd have to check into that. I don't know if Fox took over Sunday night. I knew there was some shakeups on that, whether or not it was going to be a different channels for different prime time, as far as like who's doing Monday Night Football, who's doing Sunday Night Football, stuff like that. So, because I thought that maybe a channel was going to stop doing it altogether, like there was going to be no channel. Like right now, if you look at it, you know, ESPN does Monday Night Football as it stands as far as the end of the season last year. NBC did Sunday Night Football. And then ESPN, which is technically ABC, did Monday Night Football. Well, then the other two channels, which is Fox and CBS, well, they're the two that did the games during the day. You know, so sometimes you would have, depending on where you were, you'd have four games on that whole day because, you know, all the games start at noon, all the games start at 3. So you had both channels. Sometimes if your team was playing, the way the market worked is that if anybody doesn't follow football, this is really weird because let's say that your team is playing at noon and you live, let's say you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and that the Cowboys start at noon, the one channel would carry the Cowboys. The other channel would not carry any game at all because the owners say, no, we want people to watch our game. And I always thought that was weird because it's like, well, it's kind of like it's one of those things where if you lived in Detroit and your team was playing and another team was playing, well, you're not going to watch Detroit. The Cowboys the same way. It's like if you want people to watch your team, be better. I mean, I said this last week. You know, you want people to spend money. You want people to do things. But the thing of it is, though, is you know, why are teams bad and not good? Why are they always bad? Because their fans are just terrible at, you know, like Cleveland Browns. They've been bad for a really long time. You know why? Because the fans don't turn away from them. The fans never shut them off. They dress up in all the attire, and they say, this is the best team that's ever existed, da-da-da-da-da. And the team makes money. Why should they? Why should they be better? The team makes money. And I know that they still strive. They try to, but they don't. Cleveland Browns went out and got Deshaun Watson. They traded for him. The guy shouldn't even be playing. The guy should be in jail. Okay? Boom. Because he got accused of harassing women while he was getting massages. And it turns out to be like over 20 women, like 25, 26 women. And some of them are they're criminally investigating whether or not he did that. And some of them, they just flat out sued him, and they want, you know, $1 million and all that. And he's fighting that, and it's like, dude, you know, this many, and it ain't going to happen. You know, he was in Houston. The Houston police are investigating. The Texans didn't even play him. The Texans sat him on the bench. Nobody, he didn't get suspended, nothing. They just sat him on the bench because it looked bad that he was going to be playing. So they just sat him on the bench. They paid him his money. And then this offseason, they traded him over to Cleveland. Well, then the NFL comes down and says, now you're suspended. So now Cleveland says, wait a minute, you know, well, yeah, why did Cleveland? And then Cleveland actually had a good quarterback, and that quarterback said, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm not going to stick around and see you guys do that. And they traded him over to Carolina. So, yeah, dude, come on. That's just like it's like you're trying to be bad. Man. And everybody said, well, you know, he's a pretty good guy. He won the national championship, and he's a pretty good football player and all that. That's the problem, okay? If you don't, you know, hey, I said it too. If you're playing good, I'm going to watch you, okay? But if you're doing this kind of stuff to women, then maybe I shouldn't be watching you. And you shouldn't be succeeding in life, you know? Like, you know, people have a problem with Donald Trump. Yeah, you know what? You know, Donald Trump, probably a good business guy, and he's probably a good – but you know what? All that crap with all the women that he was doing all that stuff with and everything like that and everything, you know, maybe he should be at the bottom of the river somewhere. But I'll just tell you this right now. I tell everybody the best thing about Donald Trump is he knows who to hire and who to fire. And he hired the right people to do the good job. He had good people working underneath him. And you always see that. You see good people, you know. So, I mean, say what you want, you know. The thing of it is, though, is there's tons of people out there doing crazy stuff that never get caught. I ain't even going to get into what Joe Biden does. I don't know what he's into because, you know, he's in some weird crap the way he acts. So, but, yep, that's it. Let's go. What else we got going on? Trucking news? Well, you know, what was it, Uber Freight came out. The head, Uber Freight head says, Uber Freight thinks the solution to the ongoing truck driver shortage here in the U.S., which is Uber's trucking logistics, is their self-driving trucks. That's how they can solve it. That's what they're going to say. And that might be – let's let this play out. I might switch this over and let's watch this article. It's an ad, though, so let it play out. But, yeah, I mean, it says autonomous trucking future is almost upon us, Uber Freight head says. And a solution to ongoing truck driver shortage here in the U.S., the unit, which is Uber's trucking logistics and supply chain management offering, said in a report released earlier this month. See if this video – there's a lot of advertisements. What do you – come on, people. Oh, yeah, here we go. That might be it. Why don't we switch this over? Go to some screen sharing and see what Yahoo Finance has to say about all of this. Here we go.
Anonymous truck.
Welcome
back, everyone. Uber Freight making a big bet on autonomous trucking, tapping into self-driving tech from once competitor Aurora. Uber hopes that this is going to be enough to keep its freight offering competitive as others enter into the space. So joining us now with more, we've got Uber Freight head Leo Ron and Pras Subramanian of Yahoo Finance, of course. Great to have you both here with us for the conversation. Leo, first, starting off with you, when you think about some of the investments that Uber Freight has had to make in order to accelerate its plans to really address the market and bring that service to life, what does that look like even over this past year?
We think that the autonomous future is almost upon us. It's been through a sort of cycles of readiness, and if you look at the technology maturity, we believe that in the next few years we're going to see autonomous trucks deployed on U.S. highways. But to really have the impact, the safety impact, the efficiency impact, the logistics impact of the technology, we need to have the right commercial infrastructure to support that, which is what we're doing at Uber Freight, getting ready for that future with a driver that will be available on both sides of the autonomous freight available to pick up and drop off the freight that's being hauled by the autonomous truck by providing a network of drop trailers on both ends that would allow for that move to happen. And by working with shippers, tens of thousands of shippers that cannot wait for that help in terms of capacity. In a survey we've done, 75% of them are saying they are very likely to adopt autonomous trucks once the technology is ready. So working with shippers and being their consultant for how would the future of their supply chain might look like when autonomous technology is being deployed.
Hey, Leo, Pras here. I know you guys are betting big on the hub-to-hub model. Explain to us what that means exactly and why that's a better system for autonomous trucking right now.
We think hub-to-hub is the easiest way to deploy the technology at scale. Hub-to-hub essentially means that you only do that autonomous freight between a hub off the highway close to the origin of the load and a hub close to the destination of the load. In between, the autonomous freight can run on the highway in a very predictable, very repeatable way. And then the first mile will be done by a human driver, by an Uber Freight driver, that will haul those loads from the distribution center to the hub. In the hub, we'll do a switch, and that trailer will then be switched and carried by the autonomous truck that will carry 100, 200, 300 miles to the other side of the highway where another driver would wait and do the last mile delivery. We believe that model is much more scalable.
This is a shuttle.
We believe that model can actually have the density of freight you need. This is going to be like the airline. You need to have as much freight going on the truck back and forth. And we believe that can really sort of accelerate the deployment of the technology at scale.
Leo, obviously that doesn't get rid of the need for drivers entirely, but that what you're talking about really goes towards solving probably the biggest issue for trucking right now, which is finding people to drive the trucks. So you said a moment ago we're a couple of years away from perhaps seeing a more full implementation.
The shuttle.
Where are we in that
hub
process?
Kind of
is the technology
about,
ready? Where are we from a regulatory perspective?
That's not where drivers are.
Where are we
is.
in that whole process of getting there?
First of all, to your point, there's just a huge need. We all want more and more stuff delivered, and there's just not enough truck drivers. The average age of a truck driver in the U.S. is 55. Based on conservative estimates, we need another 200,000 to a million more drivers in the next couple of years, and those are very hard to recruit into that profession. So there's an acute need to keep logistics moving for the technology. In terms of technology maturity, there's a lot of activity, and there's a lot of progress. I think the technology will be deployed in a couple of stages. The first stage that everybody's focusing on right now, which I do think will happen over the next couple of years, is on a specific lane, let's say Texas, Dallas to Houston, Dallas to San Antonio, or somewhere in Arizona. One of those lanes is actually being solved technology. You can actually start hauling goods hub to hub. Once that
stock,
milestone is reached,
UPS, FedEx,
we think regulation, consumption, shippers, the infrastructure will be ready to accelerate. We believe this will happen within the next couple of years. Once we have that initial deployment, one lane, nighttime, low traffic,
growth,
perfect weather, then it's going to be about scale. Scale is going to take years and years. But again, that hub-to-hub model will allow you to scale within a specific geography, a specific lane that was solved technically in a pretty fast pace.
Hey, Leo, real quick, how does the partnership work with Waymo and Aurora exactly? How are you guys working with that in terms of like putting their technology into trucks right now?
So this is really a partnership about partners that know how to develop the technology, are in the best in their game in developing the core technology of self-driving, Waymo and Aurora, and a commercial partner that can help them and help the technology be unlocked and commercially deployed at scale. So, for example, with Waymo, we've secured billions of miles, but on autonomous miles, that Waymo will deploy on the Uber Freight network. We will then provide the shipments, the shippers, the partners to be able to actually fill those trucks and fill those loads. And every Waymo truck will come with the Uber Freight app pre-installed so that truck driver and a carrier can utilize the network and find loads to actually take them back to their origin and to have the full sort of commercial wrapping in terms of drop trailer and whatnot. With Aurora, we're actively testing in Texas as we speak. We're hauling a couple of those loads on a weekly basis to really understand the operational model. How will those transfers up look like? What will be the economics of switching back and forth between human driver and autonomous truck? What will be the full details that we will need to share with shippers, with regulators, with the ecosystem to be able to deploy the technology at scale? So we're very happy with both partnerships, and we believe that this is going to take a decade plus to transform. So having that decade plus like long-term partnership allows us to turn back to the biggest shippers in the country and start the journey with them on transforming their supply chain and be ready for that autonomous future.
Lior, thanks for being here. Lior Ron is Uber Freight head and also our Prost Supermanian joining us for that interview. Thanks, Lior.
There you go. Hey, man, get out of here. There we go. Awesome. So what that really says there is exactly what we were talking about, where the truck would come in, the autonomous truck would come in, and somebody would be working at this point where, you know, you'd have to unhook the trailers, hook the trailers, whatever, fuel the truck, check the truck out, make sure everything's good to go. But do you have to have a CDL to do that? Because, you know, right now, when you inspect the truck, you got to check the tires and all that stuff. Is a mechanic doing that? You know, that's what you're going to have is somebody that knows, hey, that tire's bad or that trailer's not going to run like that or, you know, these brakes are no good or something like that. They got sensors. They can do a lot of sensor stuff to see if, you know, like oil, you got oil sensors. So they don't really worry about that kind of stuff. But, you know, what's going to happen? Because the federal law says that truck, you got to check the oil. That's the law. If you do if you're not doing a pre-trib, then the law has to be changed. So I don't understand what they're going to be doing with that. But I see how. I mean, that's what's going to be happening. So if you're living somewhere you know, out in the middle of nowhere or whatever like that, and you think that you're going to have a truck driving job when all this goes autonomous. So let's say you're in your 20s right now and you're living in Odessa, Texas, or you're living in Lubbock, or you're living in, you know, Jackson, Mississippi or somewhere. Those areas are not going to be, you know, that huge of a market for those transfer points. It's going to be in the bigger cities. But also, too, they were talking about driver shortage and how do you solve this, and it's with this. And as, well, that's not really the case. The driver shortage is not in the shuttle freight or the, you know, point-to-point stuff like in the bigger cities. The driver shortage is like going out to Pruitt, New Mexico, where there's a paper mill out there, and you got to deliver and pick up, and sometimes it takes a couple of hours or sometimes it takes all day, and you're gone a long time, and it's a long drive. And then the other thing is that there's tons of freight going from that paper mill over to another paper mill over in Arizona. It's in the middle of nowhere. And a lot of these places, you know, there's down there, what is it, Dothan, Alabama? I forgot where it's at, but there's a bunch of other places out there in Alabama. There are paper mills where they make product, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. And that's got to be a point, you know. What's the other one in Louisiana right there? Alexandria, Louisiana, the big paper mill that makes paper products. You know, that's probably where a hub has to be, because that's a lot of freight. But then also, the problem with that is it doesn't go to one specific place. It goes to a bunch of different places. And that's where you need drivers. You need drivers to show up at these yards, pick up a trailer, and take it to wherever it needs to go. You know, and then a lot of times with paper products, and if anybody out there doesn't know, paper products move. And I'm telling you, they always move. They got to move. I mean, you saw the toilet paper crisis we had when 2020, when everything got shut down. Okay. If you hit some type of a bump with moving paper freight, that's what happens. Because that paper moves. I mean, you got toilet paper, paper towels, all kinds of napkins, all kinds of stuff coming out of these places, paper plates, everything. And it just moves all day, all night, everywhere. You know, and the same goes for like Procter & Gamble. There's I think it's paper out of Missouri. There's a Procter & Gamble over there by the river somewhere in southern Missouri. But also out there in Lima, Ohio. Is it Lima up there on 75, isn't it? Where it's Procter & Gamble and it's detergent. It's Tide and Downy and all that stuff. And that stuff moves nonstop, boom, 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 boom. But it's in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's not a big city to where you can have this big infrastructure. So if you need autonomous trucks, you're going to have to build a facility there. But then again, it doesn't go to just one place. It goes to a bunch of little places. That's where your driver shortage is to find drivers that are willing to take it to wherever, you know, what they want is they want a driver to show up and say, go wherever we tell you to go. And drivers aren't willing to do that. They're like, well, that's not going to get me home. I live over here. So, you know, and so a chess match is played with, well, can you do that load and then do this load and then that'll get you home on this day. And then you do that load and this load and you go to this point and that'll get you home on this day and all that. And so this chess match is at play. And this is even with the bigger companies where they're company drivers. So don't even get me started on owner-operators where they have a say in like how much they make compared to how much where they go or whatever, you know, and how long they're gone from home and everything. Even company drivers that have to follow certain rules when it comes to company policies about home time, they're even saying, no, I'm not going to do that because, I got to be at some place, find me a different one, you know. And then next thing you know, you're in Lima, Ohio, trying to pick up Procter & Gamble. You got five loads going out. You got five drivers coming in to pick them up, but you got two drivers that won't pick up the loads because they want to go to, you know, whatever. Let's say that you got three drivers that live in, you know, anywhere in Mississippi, and they're in Ohio. You only got two loads going to Mississippi. So that means one driver ain't getting home. That's where the driver shortage comes in, to where you got three drivers that need to go home, and you ain't got three loads going to where they got to go. You know, that's the problem. And that's why drivers don't get out there and run full-time, because they get stuck. You know, and yeah, it's part of the job. I agree. You know, it's so funny to me, when I was working in the office, we would have drivers, like, I need to get home. There was actually dispatchers Now, these dispatchers did not ever have a CDL. They didn't have a CDL, and they never had a CDL. And they were like, well, they knew what they were getting into when they took this job. And it's like, you're right. But they also know that there's no gun to their head saying they have to do that job. So, you know, driver turnover is driver turnover for a reason, because if you don't think that driver is human and needs home time, needs to get to their families and all that, if you just, that's part of the job. I understand, because I agree with you. The problem is I'm not going to tell that to a driver. I'm not going to tell that unless he's, you know, unless he's a pain in the ass. You know, somebody that's always complaining about wanting to go home, and they're always, you know, there's drivers like that. But, I mean, when you got a driver busting his ass, doing good, and then you tell him you can't get him home and that's part of the job, you're asking for trouble. So don't even get into that. But yeah. So we're halfway through, and we're just kicking back. Let's see. What have I got? Yep, everything going on that. Oh, yeah, fired up. Here we go. Maybe. There you go. All right, so yeah. So this is Redneck and I's Radio, 515-602-9731. Give us a call. Listen along, or you can be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining us for that. And 6-8. Boom, there it goes. So, yeah, just please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. It's growing really, really well. We're really excited about it, happy that it's doing as good as it is, and we hope everybody continues to do that. Before we get any further, one of our great sponsors, and that is DPF Regeneration. Go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys that have the aftermarket ordeal where, you know, it's where you got the filters, the particulate filters, and they need to be cleaned. DPF Regeneration handles that. If you need a new filter, DPF Regeneration has that. If you need EGR cooler, if you need a charge air cooler, if you've got turbo issues, if you've got any kind of other external parts that need to go on, that DPF Regeneration, those are the guys that are handling it for you. So go check them out, dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support, and check that out. So just hang tight. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
There won't be no sleep for me tonight, no.
Hey everybody, hey, this is Ed with Rhythmic and Eyes Radio. We're here live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Man, I tell you what, Prisoner of the Highway, Ronnie Millsap. Can you just imagine when that song fires up? He's sitting there playing that organ. I remember I saw Ronnie Millsap at Six Flags Over Texas. Man, I don't even remember what year that was, but it was probably in 80, 81, something like that. And fired this song up, and everybody went crazy. And I was a little kid, and it still brought me goosebumps. I thought it was awesome. So yeah, that was cool. That was a cool experience, and good memories with the family and everything. So we're just talking about trucking, all things trucking, and then some. This is what the show is all about. And you know, it's and then some that we get involved in things where it's talking about, like, you know. We sometimes get into politics, stuff like that, you know, or whatever that's going on, and people are talking about things. And I'm one of my passions is I follow the news as closely as I can, and I try to get as much information I can from different sources and different opinions and points of view. And the more and more I do that, the more and more I realize how other mainstream media outlets really think of, And so there's, I was watching Meet the Press, and the lady was filling in, and let's see, I think I've got to, yeah, so I got to get in here and get this booted back up, but I'll do it real quick. It ain't that big of a deal. But it was this past Sunday. And there was a show going on, and yeah, let me see if I can I mute it? I can mute it. So as I get it queued back up, but they were, so that, you know, of course they're talking about all this stuff going on in the latest news, and then they're talking about voting, and they're talking about voting patterns and who's voting for who and stuff like that. And that was interesting to me because I remember there was a movie. I didn't see the whole movie, but I saw some parts of it because it was a long time ago. And it was, I think it was, what's his name? Sean Penn. He played like a Southerner politician. And he was talking about how a lot of politicians think that, you know, because you don't go to college and because you're a regular farmer or you're a regular worker and all that, that you don't matter. You know, they just throw commercials at you to get you to vote a certain way, to make you think a certain thing that's not true. And, you know, they can pretty much tell you who to vote for and how to vote. That's the thing. That's the key. That's what it is. And I mean, you know, to me, that's offensive, because if you're not out there being educated, if you're not out there going to a school that, you know, these fancy schools that everybody's going to spend a lot of money on and everything like that, if you're not doing that, then, you know, you're not important. And so what we've seen is this shift. So back in the day, it used to be that the regular folk would vote Democrat. And because at the time, like in the turn of the century, Republicans were more like in business. They were pro-business. They were pro-corporation. They were pro, like, you know, New York and all that. And a lot of these people were Republicans that lived in the city of New York. And then you saw Hollywood was hardcore Republican for a while there, you know. And then it kind of turned into the 60s. Everybody kind of switched over to where a lot of the, like, educational people, the people that went to colleges and all that, they were shifting over to the Democratic Party. And that Dinesh D'Souza, the guy, remember, he's like Indian American. I'm not real sure exactly where he's from, but he's a hardcore Republican, a hardcore conservative. And he does a lot of this stuff where it's like, you know, he did the thing with 2,000 mules about the voting habits and all that stuff in there. And one of those things that he said was that as he goes, over the years, when you see the South switch over to become more Republican, they got less racist. And he says all the racists are Democrats. That's what he said. And of course, there's a couple other people that say that because of the fact that when they voted for the Voting Rights Act in 1968, you know, they say, well, a lot of people switched over. But actually, it was like only two of all the Democrats in the South. Or Republicans switched back over or whatever. I forgot the thing of it. You know, hey, don't give me the line. Not that big of a deal. There wasn't that big of a switch. That when people started voting Republican, they weren't voting for the people that used to be Democrats. They were voting for different people altogether. So, yeah. Let's see. This is... So what they're talking about, they're talking about red wave. Is there really going to be a red wave? And what they're seeing is there's probably not going to be a red wave. And so what's going to happen is that they're going to look at voting trends and everything like that. And what they're coming up with is that, you know, and I'll play the video here and I'll let you see it. They're talking about people that don't go to college vote Republican more now than they ever have. And you're going to see more college people vote Democrat. And that's good. So let me cue this up, go over here, widen it out, shorten it up. Unmute it. So here you go.
Welcome back. Data download time. Although Democrats still face an uphill battle in November, the last few weeks have brought them some wins, along with some structural changes in the parties and the fact that Trump is not on the ballot in the midterms. Expectations of a Republican wave could be premature. One of the biggest changes in the parties over the last few decades is in education.
Here.
In 1996, 27% of Republicans had at least a bachelor's degree, higher than the Democrats, 22%.
Okay, hold on, let me pause it.
But the growth...
So this here is bachelor's degree or more by party, and it goes back to like 1996. 27% of the GDP, or GOP, I'm sorry, read that wrong. The Republicans, 27% of Republicans had a college degree, and it was lower for, 22% for Democrats, 27% for GOP in 1996. And then in 2000, and I think that's 2004, it went up to 32 for Republicans, but then up to 30 for Democrats. Then you fast forward to 2012, and it was 36%. For Democrats, but only 34% for Republicans. And then now, in 2000, that's what, 18 or 19? 2018, it was 41% Democrats had college degrees, but only 29%. Now, in my opinion, when you talk about only 29%, well, that means that more and more people are voting. That's the best part, is more and more people without college degrees are voting. I mean, we're talking about 2020, remember? It was, 160 million people voted. That's more than any other time in American history. So that's a big deal. But here's what they're talking about. Let's keep going.
Both in the Democrats' numbers since then has been more consistent and larger, while the GOP's share of highly educated voters rose slightly and then dropped back to 29% in 2019, 12 points lower than the Democrats that year. And these numbers matter because not everyone votes at the same rate. In the 2016 presidential election, the more educated the voter, the more likely they were to vote, with 47.4% of high school educated people casting a ballot versus 71% of those with a bachelor's degree or higher. So when a party's percentage of college grads falls, that may make it harder to get the desired voter turnout.
They're saying that if you're in the midterms,
although it's expected, the margins matter. And
it's lower in the midterms.
The lowest number to begin with. Turnout among voters with high school education also dropped the most, a decrease of 8.6% from the presidential vote to the 2018 midterms.
Okay, so real quick, this is what they're talking about. They're saying that because you don't go to college or you didn't go to college, then you're less likely to vote. And to me, I think that most of these people are smarter because they know that their votes really don't matter, that the politicians are still going to do what they want. But the biggest thing is in a midterm election, the biggest percentage drop of voters is in the high school diploma only. So people still turn out that go to college. They still turn out more. And even if they drop less, like, so in 2000, is it 2016, 2018? So like the next year. So this is 2016, 2018. This is the last time we had midterms and everything. What happened was is that 71% of the college degrees, 71% people with college degrees voted, and then the next 2 years later, it's only 63%. So it went down, you know, what, 8, almost 9%. And then some college was at 60% in 2016 and then down to 52% in 2018. And then only high school was 47% and then all the way down to 38%, which was the biggest drop. That's what they're saying. So, but not by much. I mean, it's but it's, you know, what they're pointing out is they're pointing out that because more people with only a high school diploma vote Republican, but still less of them vote. And I said, well, that just means that but there is way more people without a college degree than there are people with college degrees. So don't, you know, that's my point. So let's keep it going here.
In other words, as the parties change, the GOP is trading people who vote more frequently for people who vote less frequently, while the Democrats are doing the opposite. And that trade-off may be magnified in midterms. It's true the Republican Party continues to tie itself to former President Trump, a strong vote motivator. But the question remains of what the GOP electorate will look like when he is not on the ballot. We've had one example of this in 2018, and those turnout numbers show a steep drop. While the Democrats lost about 5 million votes from 2016, the Republicans saw a much larger drop of 12 million. When we come back, another reason Democrats are feeling better as the very good week President Biden just had.
Oh, crap.
Stay with us.
Oh, crap. But, yeah, so that last part there, they were saying because Trump wasn't – nobody was voting for Trump in 2018, that less people turned out. And yeah, that's a problem. Got to focus on that. And I think that as we get more and more of these, you know, information out there to tell people to vote, you know, it's a trade-off. I see that. But there are way more people without college degrees than do have college degrees. And I'll tell you this right now, Trump motivates them because he's speaking like my stepdad says it. He's telling it like it is. He's telling them, they're screwing you. Stop letting them screw you. Get out there and vote Democrats out because they're screwing you. You know, you're always saying, well, maybe they should fix my problems. No, they can't fix them. They make them worse. And politicians, any politician, Republicans or Democrats, any politician does not solve your problem. Okay? They make them worse. Okay? Spending money makes your money less. When the government spends taxpayer dollars and they spend way more taxpayer dollars than they actually take in, that makes the money in your bank less valuable. Just always remember that the money in your bank becomes less valuable when you let the government spend more money it doesn't have. That's bottom line right there. That's a good one. I got to write that down. But that's it, is that when the government spends money it doesn't have, it doesn't even matter how much money you have. That money is less valuable. So if you're doing good and all your bills are paid and your job is good and everything, you know, as long as you keep voting for people that spend money it doesn't have, government money that the government does not have, when they have to print more money, that makes the money in your bank account less valuable. And then next thing you know, when you go to the store to buy a pizza, it's no longer $14, it's now $18. And all of the stuff goes up, okay? Bottom line. And we know this as truck drivers. It's funny. We get a raise. And then next thing you know, the raise really doesn't have anything to do with anything because groceries go up. The price of groceries keeps going up. The price of your water bill or your electricity bill keeps going up. Everything increases. As long as the government spends money it doesn't have, everything is going to continue to rise. So you have to get a raise in order to keep up with that. And everybody's like, well, the inflation's normal. No, it's not. It's government spending money it doesn't have. The guy that ran Clinton's deal, and everybody says he's really good because of the way they had it. They had a surplus in the Clinton times. But that was because they lowered taxes and let people keep their money. And then, Newt Gingrich, he actually cut spending big time. Remember when Clinton said it? The era of big government is over. Because he had to concede because he got his clock cleaned in 1994. with all of the elections, and the Republicans took over and they cut spending. So the other guy did the same thing, the Treasury Secretary at the time. I forgot the guy's name, but now he's going around and he's saying, well, debt is okay as long as the GDP keeps growing. Well, so now these last two quarters, the GDP has gone down, spending's gone up. That makes inflation up higher. The only reason why inflation didn't rise, man, I get fired up and then I can't talk. But you had politicians say that the inflation is better, like it went down. It didn't go down. It went up 9.5% 1 month, and then the next month it only went up 8%. It didn't go down. It just didn't go up as fast. So don't ever say it didn't go down, you know, because down is technically deflation. That's when, you know, that's when money gets taken out, and that's what's going to have to happen. If you guys don't follow me, go follow Ben Shapiro. There are economists out there that are saying right now that since after COVID, after the lockdowns, the government should have been started to tap on the brakes. Quit spending money. Quit sending out checks. Don't do it. Slow it down. They didn't slow it down. Well, now we're coming to the edge of the cliff. The government's going to have to slam on the brakes. And actually, like during the time of 1980, when we had the big inflation that time, interest rates, the Fed interest rate was around like 15, 20%, still below like 2% now. So it's going to have to go up over 10% in order for there to any kind of, like, you know, inflation controls kick in, because you've got to stop letting people borrow money. And that's what happens when interest rates go up. What happens when the interest rates go up, if you have money in the bank, that means you get more money paid to you in interest from your savings account. That's why right now the interest in your savings account doesn't pay anything, because interest rates are low. The Fed has to raise interest rates in order for your money in the bank to be more valuable. And just like I said, for the money that you have in your bank to be more valuable, then you need that money needs to work for you, actually. So the money sitting in the bank uses that money to lend to other people. And what it is, I mean, if anybody's ever done it, you take a CD. Let's say that you have $1,000, okay? You put it in the bank, and you want to spend that money. Okay, you can spend it and not have it again. Or what you can do is you can buy a CD, and the CD, whatever it pays, you know, it might pay 5%, it might pay 2% right now. Back in the day, it used to pay 10, 15%. Okay, and what it is you had a CD. So that means that money's locked away, and you can't spend that money. You bought the CD, so you own it. So now that money is actually working more for you, and it's locked in. The bank will take that, whatever that does. Whoever wants to borrow money, the bank will put, okay, we've got this CD here locked in, paying this person 5%, and we'll lend that $1,000 to someone else, or lend it back to you. But you got to pay interest on that loan, which will be, you know, 6 to 8%. You know, higher than what the bank is paying you to lock that away. So that's how the bank makes money. They pay you 5%, but then they lend that money out and collect 8%, and they keep the difference, right? Sometimes you can do that on your own. You can have the $1,000, put the $1,000 in the bank in a CD, and then borrow against it. That way you still got your $1,000, and then you pay it off. And then it goes into your credit as having a good credit score because you took out a loan and paid it off. And then at the end of the term, whether it be a 3 year, 5 year, then you got a CD, you got $1,000 plus the interest. And the only thing that you paid was that difference, whether it be, you know, a 5% to 8% or 5% to 6%, depending on what it is. A lot of times when you borrow against your own CD, they give you a lower interest rate. And that way you can build, that's how you build credit, is just have a loan, pay off the loan. And when people see that you can pay off a loan, your credit score goes up. So different stuff like that. But nowadays, the CDs aren't paying anything because the interest rates are low. The interest rates got to go up for the CDs to start paying out so that people will put their money back in the bank, because that's what it is. People are sticking their money under the mattress, you know, but the money, whether it's in your bank or under the mattress, it's still losing value because the government's spending money. So I don't know if I explained that very well. I just, you know, I understand it, but me explaining it, you know, is one of those things where it's kind of like you need kind of feedback to say, okay, so let me get this straight. That's, you know. But anyway, so that's what we talk about here. And looks like I burned away some time again. So that's good. That's good. I like that. So let's get out of here. Where am I at? Oh yeah, that's a good song. Let's play that one. Scorpion. Man, oh man. Hell yeah. Fire it up. Boom. Boom. Oh yeah, man. So yeah, we're coming to the end of the show. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. We're also on YouTube Live. And please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. We're just talking about all things trucking and then some. And whatever you got going on. So appreciate everybody doing that. So yeah, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get to work. And you guys have a good evening. And looks like getting bad out there. Everybody watch it. It's like flash flooding out there in the desert, New Mexico, West Texas, Arizona. There's a lot of flash flood warnings going on out there. Looks like Houston and Louisiana might get hit pretty hard this weekend. So check it out. And keep an eye out for the rain. The rain's getting pretty bad. And school's also back in. So watch out for the kids. Watch out for the school buses out there on the country roads. So everybody be safe out there. And we'll definitely keep tabs on it, see how things are going on that. But until then, you guys stay safe and stay successful out there. Thank all of our great sponsors. You can check them out at redneckandeyes.com. You can find links to all of our sponsors out there. And that's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And then Trucker Tools app at truckertools.com. Appreciate everybody following along and supporting those, and appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So until next time, you guys stay safe, stay successful, and we'll see you out there on the road. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. Oops.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a redneck and I.